Well, good morning and welcome to Eastlake Church and happy Father's Day. I'm really glad that you are here today. I want to start off today with a quick survey. So with a show of hands, how many of us believe in the power of prayer? Will you show your hand? And most of us, yeah, right? All of us. Now, right, you can put it down now. Now, how many of us wish we would actually pray more? Isn't that weird? Isn't it interesting that even though most of us believe in the power of prayer, most of us find ourselves saying, I wish I would pray more. Why is that? What's behind that? And I want to give us four quick reasons that could be behind the reason that even though we believe in the power of prayer, we don't pray as much as we wish. So if you are taking notes, you could go ahead and take out your outline. It's going to be at the top of it. Or if you're using the app, this is also on the app. Here's the first one. Sure, we know how to pray. Prayer can seem like a really weird thing where you need to make sure that you have the right kind of words and the right kind of phrases, and you have to feel good about yourself before you ask God for anything, and maybe you need to be a priest, otherwise God is not going to give you what you're asking for, so you code your prayers in this religious language, thou art my heavenly Father, who I love, and you know, it just gets really complicated, so we just stop praying. But one of the things that we learned last week is that God actually likes simple prayers. He likes prayers that are just like I'm talking with you, just like you talk to me. You don't come to me and you're like, my brother Armando, holy be thy name. I'm like, what? Psh, right? It just doesn't make sense. You come to me and you're like, what's up, homie? So then you go to pray and you're like, what's up, homie? You're like, no, I don't go that low. Okay, well, what's up, homie? I'll do. So God likes it when we pray simple prayers that are honest and true. They tell God how you feel, and you talk to him just like I'm talking to you. Another reason is that we get bored or distracted while we're trying to pray. I'm sure that I'm not alone in this one. It's like when I start praying, I get ADD all of a sudden. I'm like, God, you've been so good to me. I wonder what Shalene's making for dinner tonight. And crap, I knew I was supposed to go to the store and buy. Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm back. I'm praying. God, what was I saying? I don't know. Amen. You know, it's like we get distracted. It's like squirrel. We just follow the squirrel wherever it goes. Or maybe some of you experienced this last night. You lay down in bed. You know, you were getting ready. The house is quiet now. Your spouse is lying down and you're like, all right, time to pray. Father, you just fell right asleep. Maybe you've had the experience like I've had in the past where you go out to eat with someone and you know the food gets there and they're like, we gotta pray for the food. And before you know it, they start praying and you're like, bro, the food's right there, getting cold. My dad used to do that to us when we were children. My dad and mom are the first Christians in our family. So, you know, when you're new to Christianity, you start picking up these habits halfway through your process. You're like, I guess I should pray for the food. You know, ask God to bless it or whatever. So the food would get to the table, and my dad's like, it's time to pray. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, we're four children, whatever. He's going to pray. The food's here. And then he starts praying, and it's like, dude, where are you going? Like, food's getting cold. So pretty soon we're all like laughing around because we're looking around like, are you paying attention to what he's paying? And pretty soon before I know it, I have the fork in hand and he's still praying and I'm going very slow towards my meat. I scoop it. I put it in, I just carve my fork right into it and I'm slowly moving it back into my mouth and I'm slowly chewing. He's still praying. And I'm like, how is this possible? So he pretty much, you know, at that point, my brothers are looking at me and my sister. They're laughing. My dad pretty much gets wind of it. And here it comes, you know. He just decides he's never going to pray again. So he stopped praying for food. You're welcome, Dad. I am glad that I made you stop praying for food. But, you know, you could get distracted. Because it's just easy, like, it's just things are going on. Another reason is we think that our requests are too small for God. And we talked about this one last week. So if you didn't get to hear last week's message, go online or on the app. You could go back and listen to last week's message. But we could often think that God is not interested in what we have to pray or say. So we choose not to pray. And what we saw last week is that God always listens to us, no matter how small our prayers are, because he loves us. We aren't a bother to God. God is not bothered by us when we approach him. It doesn't matter how small the details of our lives are. God is interested in them. And the reason he's interested in them is because he loves you and you matter to him. So he wants you to be able to share every detail of your life, even if to you it seems small, like God really won't care about this part of my life. Why would he? He wants you to, because you matter to him, because he loves you, because he wants to meet you there and show you that he's a good, good father that is able to meet all your needs. So God invites us to share with him every detail of our lives. Nothing is too small for us to share with God. And then the last point, the last reason is that we're not sure our prayers will make a difference. And I think we've all been there as well, where we pray for something and we ask God for something and it just doesn't happen. And we're like, okay, do you care, God? Do you care? I pray. And I've been there as well. You know, recently this year, I was praying for someone's healing. And I was believing in healing. I asked for people to pray for this person. And I was really praying in faith. And the person ended up dying. And that was really rough. And it was one of those, okay, God, like, I believed. I prayed. What's going on? And it could lead you to think, like, well, if he didn't listen then, why should I just continue to pray? Does he really care? And this question is so important. What do I do when God doesn't answer my prayers? That in the last week of this series, this is exactly what we're going to be going through. We're going to be exploring through the question of what do I do when God doesn't answer my prayers? The reality is that all of us could experience a powerful and rich prayer life if we learn how to pray, if we learn to come to God, if we learn to endure, if we learn to ask and continue to ask. That's what our hope is through this series. Our hope is that at the end of this series, you actually end up with a better prayer life than when we first began this series. Because when we connect with God through prayer, we're able to draw from his strength, we're able to draw power from him, and even when our prayers are not being answered the way that we expected them, we find the strength to continue on. This is why our series' big idea is this. We pray so that we could be connected to God and his power. When we pray, we are turning to God for his strength and help and power. In turn, when we don't pray, what we're doing is actually isolating ourselves from all the resources, all the power, and all the wisdom that God has. So in not praying, we're actually turning away from the one that has everything we need to carry on. So when we pray, what we're doing is turning to God to ask him, here's what I need. And he gives us and he meets us there and gives us the strength to go through whatever it is that we're going through. And today we're going to be looking at a prayer in the book of Ephesians that was written by Paul. Paul was a former persecutor of the church who, after encountering Jesus, his life is radically transformed. And then he starts spreading the hope of Jesus everywhere he goes, launching churches, building disciples, taking people the message. And he starts doing this. So he writes this letter to the ancient city of Ephesus, to the Christians there, around AD 60. And here's what and this is a prayer that I actually pray for many people here in our church, and I've been praying for our church this entire week. And here's what Paul prays. I pray that out of his glorious riches, if you're taking note, go back and underline that, out of his glorious riches. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and establishing love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people. Power for what? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. If you're underlining, underline that. Love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul prays that out of God's glorious riches, we may be strengthened with power to know how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God for us. There is a power that emerges from knowing God's love for us that is not found anywhere else. It is not found in your spouse. It is not found in your friends. It is not found in your children. There is a power that emerges out of God's love for you that is able to lead you to transformation, that is able to change the way that you engage in prayer, that it changes the way that you feel about yourself, and ends up rooting you and establishing you in the love that God has for you in such a way that you are filled to the fullness that God has. You completely experience His Spirit. And Paul says that this power comes out of God's glorious riches. We serve a rich and powerful God, one who possesses all things and has all the resources that we need. And out of them, He gives them out to us. And earlier in the first chapter of this book, Paul tells us that God has blessed us all with all of us Christians who have placed our faith in Jesus with all heavenly blessings. All the heavenly blessings belong to you if you believe in Jesus. And yet so many of us live life like God refuses to give us anything good. Like He's not a good Father that wants to provide for us. Like He doesn't want to meet our needs. Like His power is not there to actually help us understand and grasp His great love for us. Many of us go on living like whatever is going in our lives at this moment, whatever I'm feeling, whatever habit, whatever problems in my life, whatever I'm facing, is actually more powerful than the God that I believe in and the God that I serve and follow. So we end up living like impoverished spiritual children while having a Father that says that He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heaven. While having a Father that says that I will give it to you if only you were to ask. But we refuse often to even ask God for what He has to offer. And God says that His power for us that's available is the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. That's a huge amount of power. So I'm praying for you today, and I pray for myself as well, that out of our Father's glorious riches, we're able to come to grasp how deep and wide and high and long is the love of God for us. And when we experience that, then we are led to be transformed, and we live differently, and we love differently. And when we encounter the power of His love, we are strengthened, we are renewed, we are set free, and we find self-control. So what do you need power today for? The power you need for whatever it is that you're looking for is found in God. And He wants to give it to you, but will you ask and believe? In the book of James, he says that the reason that we don't have is because we don't ask and receive. What you need is found only in God. Whatever power you need to overcome whatever it is that you're going through in this very moment of your life, it's only found in God. But would you ask for it? This is why we intentionally left the next statement blank on your outline, so that you could write down whatever it is that you need power for. So what do you need power for? Do you need power to be more patient with your children? Do you need power to love your spouse better? Do you need power to walk through work and be able to deal with whatever is happening in your work? Do you need power to have self-control over an area of your life that is out of control? What do you need power for? Is it to spread the message of Jesus to those around you? To let them know that God loves them, that He has a plan for them, that His plan is good? What do you need power for? Write it down on that blank and ask for it. And if you're like, well, dude, if I write it right now, the person next to me is going to know what I need power for. And I don't want them to know that, you know, I have this really crazy habit. When it hits midnight, I wake up and I eat a bucket of ice cream. It's like, just write it in code, right? Whatever you need power, like power for self-control, ice cream, parentheses, whatever it is. Just ask God for it. And when you do, don't make these two common mistakes that many of us make when we're praying. These are the common mistakes that we make. Our prayers are either too small or our prayers are too general. Oftentimes when we come to pray, we pray things that are small and general. We pray things like this: God, would you be with me today? And God's saying, well, will I be with you today? Do you remember that promise that I made, that I said that I would never leave you nor forsake you? Guess what? I'm still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, so that promise is true. So I guess your prayer is answered. Too small, too general. Or maybe you pray, God, you know, would you bless me and would you bless so-and-so? So you know you're taking the step to ask God to bless somebody else. But God's going, okay, so yeah, sure. What do you want me to bless? Bless me? Bless what? I mean, have you seen the country you live in? You got good opportunities. You want me to move you to a different country? Like, what do you want me to bless you in? It's just too general. Bless me, God. Okay, bless you where? So we end up praying prayers that are too small and general. They're not prayers that if they were to become true, we would say, God brought this about. This prayer came true because God did it. It wasn't something that I could accomplish. And here's the problem with general prayers. And I really like this statement. This is from Craig Groeschel. He's a pastor of a church called Life Church, I believe. And here's his statement. And it's really good, so I would encourage you to write it down. He says, general prayers do not move God to specific actions. Let me repeat that again. Craig Groeschel says, general prayers do not move God to specific actions. If you want to see your prayers answered, then we must be specific, and our prayers need to match the fact that we pray to a God who says that nothing is impossible to him, that with him all things are possible. And I wonder if the fact that we're not specific, that often we're not specific in our prayers, is what actually keeping God from answering our prayers. I wonder if the fact that we just don't ask specifically for things in our lives is keeping God from blessing us. So what does a specific prayer look like? As I prepared for this message, I came across a story from church history about a guy named Martin Luther. Martin Luther is known as the father of the Reformation. And at the time that Martin Luther was living, he was trying to reform the church and to bring back the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, which is this, that what we couldn't do for ourselves, God has done for us in sending his son to die for us, so that in turn, by believing in him, we could be brought back to God and be reckoned children of God. That when we believe in him and we believe in what Jesus has done for us, we are saved, we're accepted, not by what we do, but by what Jesus accomplished. Luther was trying to regain this message that had gotten lost during the time. And it was a really difficult task. He faced a lot of opposition. People were hunting him, trying to kill him. So his friends became very essential to him. The people that were supporting him became those people that he found support in. And it is during this time that his friend and assistant, Friedrich Myconius, falls ill and is about to die. So Myconius writes Luther a letter, and he says, you know, Luther, it's been great knowing you. So glad for this time, but I'm about to go to heaven, so peace out. And Luther was not having it. He was like, nope. So here's what Luther writes Myconius back, a very specific prayer. It's on the screen. You could read it with me. I commend thee in the name of God to live, because I will have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this I am praying, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Now that is a big, specific prayer. And what's crazy about this story is that when Myconius receives the letter, at that point he couldn't read, could barely see. He was hours away from dying. So he had to get the letter read to him while he's lying down, getting ready to go to heaven. And when he's read the letter, his heart is filled with faith, and Myconius is miraculously healed. And he goes on to live on another 6 years, and dies 2 months after Luther dies. Luther's big and audacious prayer and specific prayer became true because Luther was willing to believe that with God, the impossible is possible. That with God, you could do all things. That God has the power that you need in that very moment and the resources that you need to pull you through whatever it is that you're going through. He was willing to believe that with God, that God can do more than we could ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. You can't measure. God could do more than you could ask or imagine. So from that story and from Paul's prayer, there's two things that we learn about prayers. Two prayer do's that you could write down. When we pray, we ought to pray big and pray specifically. When we pray, we have to be willing to pray believing that God could do more than we asked or imagined. If you want to see God transform our lives and transform the lives of our families and transform our community, then we have to pray big and specifically. And when we pray, we got to realize that it's not about what I get. It's about what God intends. It's about His glory. So we go, God, I want you to change my family. I want my kids to know you and love you. And you pray specifically believing that He can do it. See, Paul is praying for us, and I pray for you today, that we might have power to grasp how great and marvelous God's love is. The love of God is so deep that we cannot properly grasp it or understand it with our minds and explain it out. We have to experience it, and when we do, as I said earlier, we are led to be transformed, and we live and love differently. This is why I had you underline a love that surpasses knowledge, because when we experience God's love, when we start believing in who He is, what He says that He's come to do, when you believe in His promises, when you say, God, you say in Romans 8 that you will never, that you work all things for the good of those who love you. So it means that you will never fail me. So when I ask for something and I believe in you and you give it to me, I'm going to praise you. And when I ask for something, God, and you don't give it to me, I'm still going to praise you. Why? Because I've come to know your love in such a deeper way that that promise that you say that all things work for the good of those who love God is true in my life. So somehow you're going to take this unanswered prayer that I don't know how it's supposed to turn out and work it around for my own good. So I'm going to pray big, and I'm going to pray specifically, and I'm going to pray believing you, because I believe that you are the God that does the impossible and that works everything for my own good. So our prayers become big and specific when we encounter the love of God. And that's why I'm praying that God, from His glorious riches, will strengthen you with power to grasp how wide and deep and high and long is the love of God for you. Because understanding His love will change your prayers. So I pray that His love for you goes over and flows over and just washes over you and washes over you and washes over you. So for example, you won't pray for your children, God bless them and protect them and give them a good life. No, you pray, God, let my children know your love. Let them come to know you. Let their lives be transformed in such a way that they become a light in the darkness that their friends experience. Make them leaders in their school, that they're able to bring hope to the hopeless. And may they live for you, God, and serve your kingdom, because your kingdom will last forever. You got to pray big and specific prayers. Don't pray, God, help me pay the bills. God, help me pay the bills. God, help me pay the big bills. Say, God, you say in your word that I've never seen a righteous person beg. You say that if I seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, that you will provide for all things. So I'm going to ask you, God, that you bless me so that I can in turn be a blessing to those that are in need today. And I believe, God, that you will shower me with generosity so that I could shower others with generosity. And in turn, in invest in your kingdom and see your name be glorified because your kingdom will last. So bless me, God, so that I could be a blessing for others. You won't pray, oh God, please. My husband is such a jerk. Please help me love that jerk. Working that jerk's heart. You won't pray that. You'll pray, God, let my husband get to know you so deeply and so well that your love transforms him. He gets to bring his life to you, to surrender his life to you. And through that, our marriage is changed. Our kids are changed. Our generations are impacted. He is the leader that you've called him to be at our house. He becomes the leader that you call him to be in his church. He becomes a light in the darkness of his job. God, I pray that you transform my husband so much that he is invested in your kingdom and our family's life is used for your glory. That's a big prayer and a specific prayer. Pray big and specific prayers. Pray like you believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than you asked or imagined. Believe that God can do the impossible. And here's one thing I want to challenge you to do. Write down your big and specific prayer. This week I want to challenge you to do one big and specific prayer. Write it down. And put it in some place that you'll see it and you'll be reminded of it. And why am I asking you to write it down? Because it just won't be in your mind. So you'll get to remember it. But you'll also get to look back over the years and see how God has worked, what God has done. And it builds confidence in you about who God is and how you could trust him. And it could even build confidence in you and say, man, I used to pray for that girl to be like my girlfriend or my future wife. But I saw her at the market, and I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. Whew, you saved me from something. When you write down your prayers, you're able to go back and just look and trust God. So I want to challenge you. Write down a big and specific prayer. Or maybe write down multiple big and specific prayers. But make sure you start with one. What is your prayer for your family? What is your prayer for your spouse? What is your prayer for your career and your business? What are you praying for the future? I want to encourage you, write it down. One big and specific prayer. And keep it somewhere that you'll be reminded and pray over. Yes, God, I do believe that you could do this. I do believe that you could do this. I don't have to be afraid. Ask your Father in heaven that out of his glorious riches, he will bless you in such a way that you're able to experience his love and be led to pray, live, and love differently. I said earlier that in the book of James, it says, many of us don't have anything because we don't ask. Ask your Father. He is a good, good Father. And if today you don't know Jesus, I want to let you know that he loves you. And he has a better plan for your life than you do for you. I think you have a better plan for your life. God has one that you can't even imagine. And he's way better. And if you open your heart to him today and you say, okay, God, let me experience your love. Let me know how. Let me be able to grasp it. Not here, not knowing it mentally, but watch over my heart that my life is so transformed that I'm able to experience you. If you open your heart to God, he will come in with his spirit. He will pour out his love and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And every spiritual blessing is available to you, and he wants to provide it to you from his glorious riches. But will you open your heart? Let me pray for us a big and specific prayer as we get ready to wrap things up. Let me pray. Father, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen us with power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love for us. Let us be so transformed by your love that we become a beacon of light in this community, a place of hope for the hurting and the lost. Let us be so generous that we impact our community with our love and help the less fortunate find hope and freedom. Let our marriages reflect the truth of your gospel, restoring them and healing them. And let many who are far from you find you in this place through how we love and serve you and serve them. And Father, make us a community that is invested in your interests, shaping and raising leaders who will run after you, not only in Imperial Beach, San Isidro, Nestor, Chula Vista, but in all of San Diego County, California, Mexico, and the rest of the world.